What's up, Aggie Radio? You're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders, our weekly sports show talking about anything sports.
On KBLU 92.3 Logan, Utah. Gotta remember to say that. Okay.
This week, we're going to be focusing mostly on college sports.
Which is the best type. College football is the best topic ever. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah. College sports is awesome. We're going to mostly focus on Utah, but we're going to look a little bit north to Idaho and maybe a little bit around the league.
Mm-hmm. So this week, CampusInsiders.com came out with a ranking of all 128 college football teams. So we wanted to talk specifically about the three major teams here in the state of Utah, Utah State, Utah, and BYU, what the projections were that Campus Insiders did, what we have as them going, and what we think on a couple of their games. So we're going to start off with the furthest south. We're going to start with BYU, mostly just because it's really interesting. There's been a lot of comments throughout college football that BYU has a schedule this year that if they were to go undefeated, they would have a very strong resume for being in the college football playoff, just because this is an extremely difficult schedule.
No. If they go undefeated, they will be in the playoff. There's no argument. Their schedule is that difficult that if they go 10-2, there's an argument. Probably not a good one, but
yeah, I don't think that they make it in if they don't go. They have to have at least 11 wins in my mind for them to even have a slight argument. But then it depends on where they lost, what happened. So just to kick it off, on College Football Insider, they project BYU as finishing at 5-7. And they put, it can't be overstressed just how horrific the schedule is. This should be one of the 40 best teams in college football rankings for 2016, but Arizona, Utah, UCLA, West Virginia, Toledo, Michigan State, Mississippi State, and Boise are better. Win two of those games, though, and the Cougars will go bowling. I actually agree. I wrote out my projection for it. I have BYU is going 5-7. I actually had a little bit of a switch around on there. I have them losing to West Virginia, and I actually have them beating Toledo. But I just really I have trouble seeing them do all of this. I also have them losing to I think Michigan State, Mississippi State just dominate them. I think Boise will dominate them. I think Utah does. I just don't see where they can pull this out.
Yeah, they'll finish off the season strong with 3 wins, in my opinion, but they're going to have to steal multiple games to even go 6-6. It's a terrible schedule. As much as I hate BYU, I'd love to say that they were one of the worst teams in the league and that they're going to deserve the ranking they're going to get at the end of the season. I don't think I can. Dirtiest team in the league, up for debate. However, one of the worst teams in the league, probably not.
Yeah. One thing I think is interesting is, I mean, I just see a really stark difference between, you know, their big games and their not big games, because they finish off the season pretty easy. They finish off at Cincinnati, against SUU at home, against UMass at home, which Campus Insiders did put as the worst team in college football, and then at home against Utah State, which, sadly, I do think that they win that one. I think they'll be desperate for wins. I think they'll have gone through the fire of playing these incredible teams, and they'll be a better team because of it. I think it'll be really interesting, but I don't see BYU being bowl eligible this year, which makes me happy, but I just don't think they'll make it.
Yeah. I see them winning probably those last 4 and maybe stealing one against these big teams, but I mean, they start out so hard. I mean, it's not technically a home game against Arizona, but it's in Arizona, in Glendale, a few hours away from Arizona. Then they go at Utah, and then against UCLA, and then basically at home for West Virginia. Yes, it's in Maryland, but it's still basically a home team advantage. So, and then Yeah, they got the slightly easier Toledo at home, but then they go back to Michigan State. I think
Toledo's the one where they turn their season around
and get that first
win. They get their first win in week 5.
I just have to say it's terrible that they decided to have their homecoming against Mississippi State.
Yeah, that was a really poor decision. Very poor decision.
I mean, who else in that like little block do you
I mean, just to? Wait until you get to Southern Utah. It's not like it's has anything to do with conference. Play against a team you might actually win.
Yeah. It's true. That's very true. But yeah, I think they're going to be falling apart all season. I think the fact that they have quarterback controversy that'll be taking place really quickly. I mean, I think they lose week 1 to Arizona and whoever starts, be it 12 or Hill, either one, they're going to be either way it's going to be the other one should have started. The other one should have played more. I think it's absolutely incredible.
I really think I don't know if it was on with you guys that I said this, but I think they need to just switch Taysom Hill to be a running back.
Yeah, that was with us last week.
Yeah, just have him be a running back. There goes your controversy. Tanner Mangum is a much better passer. He's not a great as good of a runner and stuff, and Taysom Hill's a great runner. Let him run. That's what he wants to do anyway.
Yeah, it's true. And, I mean, it sets up great scenarios for, like, a wildcat offense, essentially, where you can have Hill back there, and if he does a sweep, he could throw it. He could have an accurate pass, and the defenses wouldn't be prepared.
Yeah, I don't think Mangum's going to look as good this year with Matthews leaving. Matthews, you could just throw up the ball, and he was tall enough that he just put up his hands, and he'd catch anything that went his way.
It's true, but he can throw the ball over the field.
Right, right.
Maybe he needs to work on accuracy or something, but, I mean, he can get the ball anywhere.
Yeah, I just don't think he'll look quite as good as he did last year.
And you might be right. But, yeah, I agree. I think that their first win comes at Toledo. And then I think that they lose the next 4 and then win against Southern Utah. And they beat, or they win against Southern Utah and UMass and then lose to us.
So you've got them going 4-8 then?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's fair.
That's very, it's very, very possible.
I mean, for the sake of them, I will say, like, they get one win out of all that stretch. They'll get one. So we'll go 5. 5-7.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement that they'll probably go 5-7.
And I think what's sad is that 5-7 has a lot to say if they stay healthy. Because as soon as injuries come in, 5-7 might even look like a stretch.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. One thing that's really cool, I actually really like Taysom Hill just announced that he is changing his number in this coming season. He will not be number 4. He will now be number 7. To honor his brother who passed away recently, and I think that's a really cool thing. I may not like BYU, but I really do like that Taysom did that. That is a really classy move. That's a really great thing for him to do to honor his brother like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
So, all right, the next team we're going to talk, just a little further north in Salt Lake, we're going to talk about the Utes. So we'll read what Campus Insiders had to say about them. This was the one they had the best for the state of Utah, and they had them ending at number 45 in the country with a projected 7-5 record. The comment they put was, the Utes will beat BYU early on. That's not all that will matter to Ute fans, but it'll make the season a plus. There will be just enough wins to be decent, but road losses to USC and UCLA will all but kill South title hopes. I think that's really accurate. They'll beat BYU. I don't see them beating UCLA, Cal, USC. They've struggled in the past against Arizona. The Pac-12 is not easy. Just straight up, I think they'll do well because they're a good team. But I have them going 8-4. They have them going 7-5.
I say 9-3.
You say 9-3.
Yeah, their losses coming against Oregon, UCLA, and USC.
Oregon, UCLA, and USC. Okay, I think that's fair. My only thing with it is that they've really struggled against Arizona recently. I think the style of play of Arizona has been kind of a kryptonite to them. I think Utah's a better team, and I think they should win that game, but I don't think they necessarily do.
The thing is, and the question is, who's going to be their quarterback?
That's a big thing.
They lost their quarterback that's been their quarterback for 4 years, Travis Wilson, and I don't know who they're going to put in, but... If he can do, like a decent job, they should be in good shape with how well their defense always plays.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at, I just realized that Arizona game is actually their homecoming game, so they might want it just that much more to take that game away. But yeah, fair. I have them starting 3-0, losing to USC. I actually have them losing at Cal. I'm going to actually switch. I think they're going to beat Arizona at home, beat Oregon State.
Yeah, I don't think that they lose against Cal. Cal doesn't have Goff anymore, and he was kind of the main thing that was going well for them.
That's fair.
And so they're going to be without him. So I think that's a much more winnable game. And they beat him last year, even with Goff. So, and I think that they beat California.
Okay. Mm. That's fair.
I could see that. But you have them losing to UCLA and USC?
Yeah, because those teams are just super, super talented on both sides of the ball. And, I mean, either one of those teams could do what they occasionally do and just, like, have a terrible night, which, like, they lose to inferior opponents from time to time because they just don't bring it.
Well, and that's my favorite thing about the Pac-12 After Dark is that those Pac-12 After Dark games were absolutely incredible. Every single one of them was super entertaining and super shocking. I mean, the Utah-Oregon game
that was fun.
Was extremely entertaining. As someone from the state of Utah, I loved it. Yeah. I imagine everyone from the state of Oregon probably turned the TV off in the probably second quarter, left the stadium, and probably
punt return was the best.
Probably went and cried for a little bit. But it was absolutely incredible. And I think that's what happens continually in the Pac-12. That's what I love about the Pac-12. Anybody can show up any given night, and it can be super entertaining each time.
Yeah, they've all got tons of talent. They can all light it up any given night. Some are just more consistent than others.
Mm-hmm.
And some just decide not to show up at times, which has been the Achilles heel of USC for a while. Mm-hmm. Because you watch them, and they just, like, destroy most of their opponents, and then they just don't show up a couple games a year and lose them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's definitely fair. One thing I think is interesting, taking this into account, now if Utah was to do what was expected of them, well, maybe not expected, but the best case scenario, if they were to go to that Pac-12 championship game, they'd likely go up against Oregon for their second matchup against them, which has Campus Insider has them as number 11. They have Utah 45. That would be a really tough matchup for them. I wouldn't see them winning that conference championship game, be it with Oregon. I think if somebody else from the North was to squeak out, yeah, they could do it. I mean, they could beat Washington. They could beat Washington State. Oregon State they could definitely beat. But I don't see them beating Oregon. I don't see them beating Stanford in that type of game, but it would still be interesting.
It's definitely Stanford's conference.
Oh, yeah, Stanford's looking so good.
Oregon, I think they're still going to have some struggles like they did last year. They're going to be good but not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that they find a way to put up enough offense to get a win against Utah next year.
Yeah.
And even that one I'm not sure about. I could see Utah only losing two games, but I'm going to stick with 9-3.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it is at home, but I think Oregon has something to prove after last year losing spectacularly.
They're going to come back firing. So.
Okay, so Alex, what was your projected record?
I think I had them going 8-4 because I have them losing for sure against UCLA and USC, and I think they lose one of these home games against Arizona, Washington, or Oregon. Let's see, so maybe 9-3.
Okay.
So yeah, 9-3, and then if they go to the Pac-12 championship, but yeah, I'm so excited to see Stanford play this year. McCaffrey is one of the most fun players to just watch because every play he can just go off and score an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't matter what phase he touches the balls. If he's got his hands, look out.
Yeah.
And I'm also I'm a big fan of his mostly because I was a big fan of his dad's when he played for the Broncos.
Uh-huh.
So I'm excited to see what he can do this year. I thought he should have won the Heisman last year.
See, now one thing that's interesting is this ranking the Campus Insiders doesn't think of Stanford all that highly. They actually have Stanford at 26, ending the season at 8-4.
Pretty terrible, I think.
Yeah. They have them ending at 8-4 with road losses to UCLA, Notre Dame, Arizona, and Oregon.
I could see them losing maybe one of those games.
I could see them using UCLA, Notre Dame, and Oregon. I think that Arizona game's a stretch, but
I don't think they lose to Notre Dame. And I honestly, unless Oregon gets everything together this year, I don't think they lose to Oregon. Stanford looked so good last year. I thought Stanford should have been in the national championship has Oregon's last
number.
Year.
They yeah. always have their number. Yeah. So, like, every year, like, I mean, that year that, you know, Oregon was just dominant. Now they go against Andrew Luck, and they have this huge comeback and win. And it's just like, you know, Oregon was up by, like, 20 at halftime. And you're like, there's no way anyone catches up to Oregon in there, and Stanford did. So, yeah. Stanford, I mean, they've got lots of pro-ready guys. And so
I think as long as McCaffrey is on that team, they are always going to be a force to be reckoned with. And, like, you just can't underestimate McCaffrey and Stanford.
See, and I don't think Stanford necessarily has Oregon's number. In the last 4 years, they're 2-2 against each other. Yeah, one of those was a 2012 game that went to overtime. But I think Oregon, looking at the last 7 years, Stanford's 4-3. I think that's a really close matchup, and I think as an Oregon team and a Stanford team that have been doing really well recently, I think it'll be really interesting. I probably still put Oregon above them, though.
Yeah, but Oregon is on the decline and Stanford is on the rise. Though a few of those years were like where Oregon was one of the best teams in the nation, even going to the national championship. And so I think Oregon is honestly on a decline, and I think Stanford is on the rise, and I just I can't see Oregon winning that game.
And even with those times when Oregon, like, went to the national championship and stuff, like, they had a hard time against Stanford, even if they won.
Right.
So,
okay. I mean,
I think that it's Stanford's going to win that one. Yeah. And I think that they beat Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is overrated just about every year. Everyone thinks that they're so great, and then anytime they play a big game, they lose.
That is true.
So I don't really trust them to win anything. I mean, it'd be a stretch, but I see them winning all or all but one. So I think that Stanford is in the playoff at the end of the year.
That's fair. Kay. And even if not, 26 is
that's a joke.
Way too low. That I looked at some of those rankings, and Stanford was the first one that I was like, who is this guy writing this article? Because Stanford at 26 is a joke. After they looked there, like they should have been in the national championship
that
last year.
That I've already noticed.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Tennessee at 5.
Yeah.
And
Auburn's
another
at
one
3.
That we're going to get to in a little bit, like, it's pretty much a joke, too.
Yeah. We'll talk about that one extensively.
That's our heat of the week. We'll get there. But yeah, I think Utah has a good performance. I don't see them winning the South. I think they look like a good, solid Pac-12 team, which is what they are. But they don't really shine like they did last year. They don't get to that number one ranking that they got last year so prematurely. But I think they'll look good.
Yeah,
well, I feel like they had earned it.
At that point.
I mean, yeah, they collapsed down the stretch and no longer deserved it. But I think at the time, they did look like the best team in the country. So,
in fact, I'm pretty sure, Mason, you were one of those people saying they deserved the number one spot at that time.
Oh, I think at that time it was fair. But it wasn't over the course of the season. It kind
of
seemed like an exaggeration.
They weren't the number one seed. Yeah. I think at that point they had demonstrated that they were the number one
seed. I agree.
And then
it was just you made it sound like, you know, they didn't deserve to be number one at that point.
Clarifying that for you.
All right, that's fine.
So people don't yell at you. Anything else on Utah? I think if their quarterback shows up like we want them to, they could be this 9-3, maybe 10-2 team. But we still have no idea who their starting quarterback is, and that to me is scary.
Yeah, and I think it is good that they have. I honestly see their first three games as practice games, games that can get them going. SU is the definition of a practice game. I think BYU will be a tough game, but I think they'll be good. And I think at San Jose State as well. That way, by September 23rd when they play USC, they're ready. I think they'll be ready to play them. I don't think they win that game, like I said earlier, but I think they are a highly competitive team that kind of gives USC a run for their money.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Okay, so we'll go on now to the most northern team in the state of Utah.
Our Utah State Aggies.
Yeah, the Aggies. So I think this will be a good year for the Aggies. I don't think it'll be a great year for the Aggies. I think there's a lot of things that are still questionable. I think Mays will be a great running back throughout the year. I think as he grew last season, he got more playing time. He's set to be a great player. I think he'll run over a lot of the smaller defenses, a lot of the teams. I think he's going to have some really breakout games. I think that Myers is going to do well. My only question is the explosiveness at wide receiver. I'm not quite sure where we're going to see that, but I think we will have explosive players there. But I think my biggest question is the defense. We've lost some really big players, yet somehow last year the defense was the anchor of our team, yet was allowing everyone to run for who knows what on them. So I think this year the defense will be tough. I'm not quite sure what I'll expect out of the defense, but I think that's my biggest question mark.
I'm excited to see how they do this year. I'm not too hyped on them this year. I've been honestly pretty harsh on them this offseason. I don't expect much. We lost Sharp. Myers is, he's okay, but I don't think he's like a tier one quarterback. Mays is good, but the problem he had last year, okay, this is a rumor I heard, but the problem he had last year from what I understand is that he had a hard time learning the plays, and that's why he got so few touches at the beginning of the season, because he couldn't learn the plays. And that's an issue as a running back if you can't learn the plays. But I mean, maybe he has them down now.
He had all off season. Well,
yeah, I would assume, especially like going on later in the year, he was in there so much, he would have to have known.
Yeah, and he looked good too. Yeah. He's a beast. Mays is a beast. That's a great word. He's a beast. He can run people over. I liked him a lot last year.
Yeah,
but
he did an awesome job last year, and I wish they would have gotten him more carries earlier on. But I mean, if that was the case where he didn't know the plays, I don't know. I hadn't heard that until just now. But I mean, I wish they would have been able to give him the ball more because he did such an awesome job. I am probably hopelessly optimistic when it comes to my own teams.
As am I.
And like looking at the schedule, I feel like we're the better team in all but one game.
Which is that one USC. Game? Really?
USC.
You think we're better than Boise State?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on which team shows up, because we played Jekyll and Hyde last year. But if we can get more consistency, like you saw how good we could be last year.
Yeah.
I mean, in that game against Boise State, yeah, maybe some of it was them just having a really terrible game, but like our defense was all over the place and forcing tons of turnovers that we quickly capitalized on.
Okay.
And I see that us having that ability to do that again. Yeah, we're losing players, but I mean, there's also a lot of guys waiting that we haven't seen that, no, I still believe they're going to do well. I know that the coach Wells has done a good job of continuing to get good recruits in here. So I mean, we might not know them now, but by the end of the season, we'll be like, oh yeah, that guy did an awesome job. And so, I mean, I can't say, yeah, this person and this person are going to do well, other than Mays, obviously. I think he's going to do great, and I think he's going to... The thing that they need to do is make sure that they're have him running downhill rather than try to have him run to the sidelines and stuff, because he can run over people. He does have pretty good speed, but he's not like the breakaway speed kind of guy.
Yeah, I like that Hunt did a really good job at that last year.
Yeah.
He was the guy who could really get some distance in between him and the defense. Mays did a good job of saying, I don't want any distance. I'm going over top of you. Yeah. And I thought that was good.
Mays was more consistent. He got more yards per game. But he's not going to usually break those huge 80-yard runs. He's just not that fast.
I mean, he could. But either way, he's going to chug out about 5 yards of carry.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we does need. An awesome job. And really, I think the problem that we ran into a lot is when, you know, our offense was fizzling because we were not being aggressive enough. And I think Mays will help us be more aggressive. I think that, you know, Kent Myers did a great job when he was running the show last year of, you know, not just scrambling to get away from people, but he would, like, you know, he'd get away from the pressure and then find the open man more often than he would run. He would run sometimes, but I think he did a good job. So I'm really looking forward to him.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he's not necessarily the guy that you expect to go to the NFL, but I think that he's a solid enough player that he's going to make a lot of good plays. So I say we beat Weber State. We probably don't beat USC because it's in Los Angeles, and yeah, we might catch them because it's early in the season, but I'm just going to wager that they're not going to win that game as much as it would be awesome.
Yeah, my hope on that one is just that they're competitive.
Yeah, and I think they will be. I think they'll be competitive. They'll lose by like 10 points is what I think.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Arkansas State should beat. Air Force, we should beat. Boise State, be tough, but I say we win that game.
Okay.
Colorado State, we should beat. Fresno, we should beat. San Diego State, we should have beat last year, but we just didn't show any kind of physicality the entire game. And even I ran into a couple of the players on the team, and they're like, yeah, that game like was just dumb because like we were a better team. We just didn't play like it. Okay. So I still feel like we're a better team than them. I don't think that they're as good as, you know, College Insiders thinks.
Mm-hmm.
They have them at 23rd, which I don't think they're that good. They're decent, but they're not that good. Wyoming, I mean, we don't really need to say anything about Wyoming. New Mexico, another team that got us last year but shouldn't have.
Yeah, I agree.
We went to at home as well. So.
And same with Nevada. And then BYU, like, we should win that game. We should have won last year, but we decided to give them all the momentum right before halftime.
It's true. Yeah, I think the BYU game last year comes down to three plays.
Yeah.
And they're not even the three plays that a lot of people bring up. There were three third and medium long plays that we had in the red zone that we passed to the same wide receiver, and the same wide receiver dropped the ball all three times. And after each of those drops, we kicked a field goal. Two of them were missed. One of them was blocked and returned. It wasn't quite for a touchdown, but it set up points for BYU. That for me is a 16-point swing.
Yeah.
I think yes, there were other mistakes made. There were other things. That specific spot for me is where it really kills me.
Yeah.
Because those are simple plays. Everything else worked. It hit him in the hands three times. Three drops. He didn't catch the ball that game.
Another play that was just a head scratcher was when Chucky was going back to pass and just drops the ball.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and lets them run it in as the half expands. Yeah.
You could have just jumped on it.
And then letting Mitch Matthews get wide open for an 80-yard touchdown right before that.
Yeah.
And then that blocked kick. I mean, I don't know what's up with our kicking game, but
Utah State's kicking has been terrifying for the past long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that year where we went, did we end up 11-2? We had two losses. One, we missed a chip shot against Wisconsin at the end of the game. The other one, we missed a kick against BYU in arguably the worst football game I've ever watched, where we lost 6-3. I was at that game in Provo, and I remember leaving saying, I'm not even mad that we lost. I'm just mad at how terrible that game was.
Yeah.
That was not an entertaining game. And it's been our kicking that's been an issue for a long time. I think that's one of the things we need to take a step up. Problem is, I haven't kept up on the recruiting for kickers. I don't know how we're doing. I don't know where everything's lining up, but I hope that they start to.
Yeah, and part of it, it's not all on the kickers. I mean, obviously, they've got to step up. But also, when it gets blocked, I mean, part of that, I mean, I guess that one he kicked it so low that it was easily blocked. But our special teams does need to do a little bit better. That's why Utah did so well last year, is because their special teams was the best in the country.
Yeah.
And their defense was one of the best in the country. Yeah. And even though their offense was pretty terrible most of the time, like, those other two facets allowed them to win games and be in games despite their offensive performance.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the special teams is super important.
It gets overlooked a lot.
Though. We'll give them credit. Special teams gave us one game specifically.
The first one
that we shouldn't have even been close.
That ugly so performance against SUU.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for Rodriguez returning that punt return.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what
he's
saved
back
us.
Year, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay, I'm pretty sure. I thought he was a junior.
Yeah, I think so.
So here's my thing, though. Yes, we should have beat BYU last year. My biggest thing as a fan was looking at it. To me, the refs look atrocious. Like, there were so many calls that
it's Mountain West refs, so you just expect it.
Right. But, I mean, like, it was just so bad that I think we got just so frustrated. At least as a fan, I was so frustrated that whole game. But I think it's going to be hard at BYU this year, where they're coming off a season where we think they're going to get maybe 4 wins.
But they're going to be so beat down by that point that they're not going to have much of a will.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think they're going to go in thinking, we need to win this one last game. I think they're telling themselves we should beat Utah State, and I think they're going to go
in. But for them, it's not really a rivalry. Except when they beat us, all their players run over to get the trophy. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to you guys. If it didn't mean anything, you wouldn't worry about it. You'd just be like, yeah, whatever, and just go off the field.
Yeah, it's true.
If you're celebrating a win, it obviously meant something.
I agree. It's a rivalry that is denied a lot of the time, but it's a rivalry that's growing. Side. Yeah. I just think I agree with Alex. As much as I hate to say it, I think BYU will have gone through the fire so much, they'll come out really good. I think they won't have a shot to really show how good they are. Another thing is, as we mentioned, they're on the border of being a bowl game team. That game could be the game that decides if they go to a bowl game. Most of us have them going 5-7.
Yeah, I mean, they could make it at 5-7 just because of last year they started having, like, a few teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I still say, like, if they're at 4 wins and they've just been beat down, they're not going to go at it with all their energy. Especially when, like, at that point, I don't think that they have as many fans in the stands. That's going to take away some of their advantage of being at home. We beat them, not last year, but the year before, down there. And they were supposed to be, like, this super favorite. Granted, they did lose their quarterback during the course of the game.
But we were already up by 2 touchdowns.
We were already up. And we already had the momentum, and we already had them on their heels. And thinking about that just reminds me that I miss Daryl. Daryl Gerritsen, why? I wish that would have been handled differently, that he would have stayed and been our starter. So...
Another one, at Boise State, I think their season, we'll talk about this in a minute, but their season looks so easy that they're going to, I don't know, I think they're going to be fighting for that 13-0. And I think, especially after last year, we embarrassed them. Or moreover, they embarrassed themselves with 8 turnovers.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time believing at Boise State after last year, unless I don't think we're favored against them. I think it's something
like last year. We're definitely not favored.
We're probably not favored.
Yeah.
It depends on what happens leading up to that game, but I would say that we're probably not favored in that game, but I still think that we win.
I could see us, like, stealing a win, but I don't think going into the season I'm looking at it and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to win at Boise State.
Oh, I'm not saying, like, yeah, for sure we're going to do it. I think that we will. I'm not be like, yeah, for sure that one should be a win. But I think we'll get the win. The thing about it is, like, yeah, last year we embarrassed them. But the only times when it come back and just, like, when a team gets embarrassed and the next time they play that team, they bring the hammer down. The only time that is able to happen is when they're head and shoulders above the team that they lost to.
Okay.
That's Boise fine. State's not that to me. I think that they're right on the same level with us. I think that, yeah, they're going to come out wanting to win that game. But so are we. Like, I mean, we really don't like Boise State. They're, you know, they were beating on us for years and years.
It's a budding rivalry.
Yeah. And so, I mean, regardless of what Boise State feels about the game from last year, we're still going to go in there wanting to beat them just as bad because, you know, we're sick of all the times that we've been, you know, had the score run up on us when we weren't as good.
Right.
And... now we're good enough to compete with them, and so we're not going to just lay down and let them score all that on us.
That's fair. And looking at it now, I think we beat Weber State. If we look competitive against USC and then come back and just beat Arkansas State and Air Force, we'll probably be on that momentum as well. And
yeah,
that could affect that game.
That's fair.
So
I'll give you that. I think it's fair. As much as I love Utah State, as much as I really hope for a great season. I do have us going 7-5 throughout the season with the bowl game potential to put us to 8-5 depending on where we go. I just don't really see us beating San Diego State, Boise, USC. Those three I see pretty firmly that I don't think we're winning them. I agree with you guys. We can. I think we have a team that can do it. I think Boise will. I think they're going to dominate us, actually. But I think BYU and Air Force are very winnable games, but I could see us falling on one of those ones.
I mean, we looked competitive against Air Force last year, and we were, like, injured at quite a few positions at that point.
Well, we should have won that game.
And we should have won that game.
So,
that
I mean, pretty,
yeah.
I don't think Air Force will be a problem.
Especially at home this year.
That is also likely our homecoming game.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. With San Diego State, like, I don't think they're as good as, you know, people think they are. Like, I think that they overachieved last year. They weren't good at all at passing the ball. If we get a lead on them, they're going to have a hard time coming back.
That's true.
So that's the thing for me is, like, they're very one-dimensional in that they run the ball. It's the same with New Mexico. They run the ball. If you get up on these teams, they have a hard time catching up. And at the same time, if, like, they're very good playing ahead. So the first quarter is key in, all, like, every game, really, but especially those games. Because if you let them get a couple scores on you and you're playing catch-up, they're going to be running out the clock and taking forever to run the ball all the time.
Mm. Whereas, that was the problem last year is we got ran over quite often.
So I think we were surprised by them because we didn't expect them to put up as much of a fight as they did.
But it wasn't just San Diego State that ran all over us last year.
I know. I think it was every time that we had that problem. I think it was that going in we were thinking, yeah, this team. Because the year before, we beat every one of those teams.
Okay.
And so I think that... You know, we got overconfident after Boise State, and then we were just overlooking these teams and thinking, you know, we've got this, instead of going with the mindset, okay, we need to go earn this. And I think that's what happened on a few of our games last year, is that we told ourselves beforehand that we were ready. So for me, I think that we're not going to fall into that trap again this year.
Okay.
I think that we're going to come out more prepared and more ready to go against those teams. And, like... For example, let's see. San Diego State's going to be here. Yeah. That's going to be...
And that's why I see us...
Late October. So it's going to be pretty cold. So they're not going to be able to be as comfortable in the cold as they are down there in San Diego.
I
mean, I don't know. I still think that San Diego State isn't as good of a team as we are. But, I mean, I can understand why you would think differently. But for me, that's how I see it.
Okay, I think that's fair. So what's you guys' projections? What's the numbers?
Okay. Let's see. Lose to USC. I think, honestly, looking at it, I think we could go 10-2 if our offense gels as much as I want them to. I think we lose one of the matchups against BYU or Boise State. I don't think we win both. But looking at it now, I think we could go 10-2. But if...
So your projection is 10-2.
I think we could go 10-2.
With your losses coming to USC
or USC, and then either Boise or BYU. I don't think we lose both of those games.
Okay, that's fair. And Ethan,
see, again, I'm super optimistic. I think we go 11-1. If I'm going to make a realistic prediction, I would also go with 10-2, just because I feel like we slip up once, because it's a long schedule. But like I. Very easily, I see that our team could go 11-1, but it really depends on which team shows up. You know, I'm gonna be very disappointed if we end up at 6-6 at the end of the year, like we did last year, and like College Insiders thinks we're gonna do.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, so College Insiders comment on there, they have projected going 6-6. It says, it will be a solid season, but not a sensational one. Starting 3-1 and getting everyone excited after a win over Air Force, then come the road games, going away 5 of the last 8. I don't think most of those road games are as much of a challenge as it's making it sound, but yeah. I do think I think 7-5, I'd even push it to 8-4 is pretty
two
realistic.
Those road games though are Wyoming and Nevada. Yes, they stole
Wyoming and Nevada are away, and even 5 of the last 8. They're at home against New Mexico and San Diego State and Fresno State. So I feel like their numbers were a little bit off on that. But maybe I'm just not looking as much into it.
Yeah, 5 of the last 8 after Air Force, the only home games are Fresno, San Diego, and New Mexico.
Okay, I guess there is that. But, I mean, those are all home games against teams that, you know, they'll give us a good game, but I think that we win those.
Okay.
Nevada and Wyoming, those aren't tough road games, I would say. Same with Colorado State. Like, we beat up on Colorado State last year. Boise State won, obviously, it will be a tough game.
The only
and then
problem
the one against BYU, it's yeah, it's an away game, but it's not that far away.
No,
it's going to be the similar climate. I mean, obviously, they have the home field advantage, but we're also going to have tons of people there.
Especially if they go 4-8, like we're predicting.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of open seats, and Utah State people will buy the tickets.
Yeah, I think so.
My only problem is we could run into the same problem last year, is if we go and beat up Boise State as much as you want us to, we could go into that Colorado State team thinking, well, we just beat up on Boise State. We creamed this team last year.
Yeah, and Colorado State's a good team. They could give us a run for money if we are.
Yeah, I don't think we'll win win it by a blowout against Colorado State.
Right.
I say we win that game and we win against Fresno. Boise State though, I mean, I don't think that we have that same game from last year where we just beat up on them. I say we win, but in a close game. So it's not going to be that overconfidence. And also, you know, you learn by experience. And last year, they experienced what it's like when you get really high on yourself and don't, you know, go out there and, you know, do your job. And so I don't think that they're going to fall into that trap as easily. So.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Those aren't really a lot of tough road games, though. There's one that's going to be super tough. Or it's probably two.
Three.
Depends on what happens with BYU.
I say BYU, something. Boise, and USC are all difficult roads.
No, I was meaning after the.
Oh, after.
Like
the,
those.
After the Arizona. Or yeah. After, sorry, Air Force.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we are going to get into our heat of the week. Just to give you an idea of this, me and Alex were up until about 12:30 at night last night. Literally screaming at each other
Glorious.
Over this topic.
We had a roommate come and Glorious. Tell us to shut up because we were being so loud and angry.
Yeah, because we have pretty. I mean, I feel like at the end of it, we found a little bit of common ground, but
yeah.
It wasn't much. So,
wasn't much.
Our topic this week. So Campus Insiders has Boise State at number 4 in the country. Their comment is they'll go 13-0, and here's how this will work out. Boise State will put up astronomical numbers against the weak in the SAD, get by Washington State and Oregon State, and roll through the Mountain West on the way to a strong conference championship win over San Diego State. The national argument will ensue about the Broncos being worthy of the college football playoff. But they'll be a conference champ and the only FBS unbeaten team. Welcome to the number 4 spot. Alex, what's your thought on this?
So first off, I don't think they're going to go 13-0, even how atrociously easy their schedule looks. I mean, their hardest games are against at Oregon State and at home against Washington State. So looking at this...
And at home against us.
Oh, yeah. And sure, at home against us, because we just told you that we think they're going to lose there. But so I don't think they go 13-0. But my bigger issue is saying that because somebody goes 13-0 and is a conference championship, that we have to put them at that number 4 spot and they have to go to the playoffs. Like, I don't know. I have issues thinking, oh, they went undefeated, so that means that they deserve it more than these teams who played in real games against a real conference. Like, if a 12-1 SEC team doesn't go because Boise State somehow managed to go 13-0 against this easy schedule, like...
Well, if the team is the SEC team is 12-1, they either won the SEC championship or lost in the SEC championship
against an undefeated team.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have two undefeated teams from the SEC going at it for the SEC championship, they're both going to be in. To be honest.
Okay. My thought on that is, if you have a number 4 team playing a number 1 team in the SEC championship, the pack or anything, I think the team that if they lose in their conference championship, they should not be in the playoff. They lost
should
a game.
Be.
I don't think they should be. I think they
no,
should.
I'm saying,
yeah.
I think what you're saying, it should be that way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Not,
because
not that they should be in.
Yeah. I think that a team that loses a game that is that important, I think they lost their chance. That's their opportunity. I think it's the same idea as if Boise loses any of their games, they lost their shot. My idea of what a champion is they win when they have to win. And that's what Boise has to do. They have to go undefeated. And I think a lot of these SEC teams maybe don't have to go undefeated. They can still make it in. But if you lose your conference championship game, I don't see an argument for being in the conference or for being in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And I think that if Boise State goes 13-0, I think they deserve to be in the playoff, because I also don't think that you're going to have 4 1-loss teams. If a team loses twice, you can't put them in there.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, over an undefeated team. Like, you can't put them in there over an undefeated team. You can make the case for 4 1-loss teams from the Power 5 being in there over Boise State. I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that.
But not any 2-loss team. You can't have any 2-loss team in there over an undefeated team, regardless of whatever conference they play in. But I don't. I also don't think Boise State's going to go undefeated.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, because
my,
I said that.
My thought on this one is that for Boise to make the college football playoff, there's a lot of things that come into play. I think one of them is they have to be in the right spot before their conference championship game. If Boise's at number 10 and they win their conference championship game, I don't see any argument for saying, all right, they should jump these teams.
Unless they all lose.
Boise doesn't jump anybody unless they lose.
Yeah.
But I think if Boise keeps winning, I don't think anybody should jump Boise if Boise keeps winning.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
I think that a team that loses in their conference championship game should not be in the discussion. I think a team that has 2 losses should not be in the discussion.
Unless you don't have another option.
Yeah, unless there's no other options, yeah. Because right. Obviously it could be where you have a bunch of 2-loss teams. I think if there's 2 undefeated teams, Boise doesn't make the...
Are you saying that Boise's one of those 2?
No, Boise's not one of those 2. Two other undefeated teams, I don't think Boise makes it.
I think if there's any other undefeated teams, it's hard to see Boise State making it.
Yeah, I agree.
I would have to see how it would play out, but I think if there's another undefeated team, there's... Probably, I don't know. We'd have
You got to think about it this way. Like, if there's an undefeated team from, like, the SEC or the Pac-12.
They're in.
I mean, you're going to have 2-loss teams from, like, the same conference. So, I mean, if there's one that's undefeated, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be another one that's only 1 loss.
Yeah.
So, I still think it's the same criteria. I don't think it matters how many are undefeated, as long as there's not more than, like, there's not 4 or more that are undefeated or 1 loss.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying as long as there's not any 4 1-loss or undefeated teams from these Power 5 conferences, Boise
State. And if Boise State went undefeated, they should be in.
Okay.
So one of the things is...
It matters, like, how well they played in those games. If they scratched by Utah State, Oregon State, Washington State, and let's say BYU.
I mean, the thing about being a champion is it doesn't matter how you win. Okay. It matters that you win.
Okay.
Obviously, you can build your case that you're a better team if you dominate every, like, good opponents. But last year, for the Broncos, you know, they lost, or they won 12 out of their 16 games, and then won going, like, through the playoffs. But they were all really close games, and a lot of them were against pretty poor teams.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I mean, and they ended up proving that they were the champion. And obviously, that one's a less biased system because it's not people choosing. But to me, it's like, yeah, that helps, but it doesn't – I don't think it hurts you to have a win where you squeaked one out. If you lose, it obviously it hurts you. But if you squeak one out, yeah, that might give people more
– yeah.
Like more incentive to not want to put you. But yeah,
so long as they're not squeaking out every game.
Yeah, if it's every game, then they're like, eh.
Because it's hard for me to see them like squeaking out like 4 or 5 of these – sure, one of their tougher matchups, and then arguing that they're the 4th best team in the nation.
Yeah, I mean, and I can see that. If it's every time that they play against a decent team that they're barely getting by, then I can see that argument.
Yeah, because they're not going to
beat these
SEC teams.
But if it's like 1 or 2, maybe, like, then I don't see that as an argument.
So something interesting is last season, Clemson was undefeated, Alabama, Michigan State, Oklahoma, Iowa, and Ohio State were all 1-loss teams coming into the bowl game, yeah. Coming into the college football playoff. I think in that type of scenario, Boise, although I think an undefeated Boise should have the chance to prove themselves, they wouldn't. They would have to have something better. They'd have to have a better layout. Because, I mean, you look at Iowa. Iowa was undefeated up until their conference championship game. They got beat. And then they got whooped in their bowl game, too.
Yeah. Because Stanford was better than anyone in the Big Ten.
Yeah. I think Stanford deserved a spot in the playoff as well.
Yeah. It was hard to argue against the decision to put the other guys in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Because Stanford did have that second loss. But
who do you put Stanford over with their second loss? Mm-hmm.
But I think that they proved that they would have done better than maybe Michigan State would in that bowl game. Because Michigan State barely won against Iowa. Iowa got slaughtered by Stanford. Yeah. And I think that Stanford could have won it all, possibly.
And that's my problem.
But we'll never know.
4-team playoff is that
these
6th-place teams that were probably better than these 3rd and maybe 2nd-place teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the problem with the Pac-12 last year, is that they just beat each other up. And Stanford, you know, they played so well in almost all their games, but they had one game that they lost to a good team, and the other one they just kind of dropped. Like, they didn't do very well.
They
didn't play well.
Who did they lose
to? I forgot. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was a game they shouldn't have lost.
Okay, yeah.
And it was late in the season, and you can't have losses late in the season if you want to keep your ranking.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really tough to put Boise in a discussion there. I hope that this year there's not that type of a matchup where we have 7 teams that are – or 6 teams that are arguably in the playoff. Because I think if Boise is one of the 6, they're one of the 2 left out. I think if there's 5, maybe.
I think it's
important. The big issue is the playoff. 4-team playoff is not enough. Me and Alex have talked about what we think playoff should be. It's a hot topic in our room. But the thing is, I think for today, I'm happy that we have a 4-team playoff as compared to the 2.
The BCS thing.
Is that what I think the end goal should be? No.
No.
I think in no way should it come down to who puts you there. Yeah, it's a stepping stone. Now, what I think the best scenario is a 16-team playoff. That's the best scenario for who is the real champion, because if you are left at number 17, you don't really have that big of an argument of saying, oh, man, we could have been national champions if they just would have put us there at 16. No, I mean, there's not much of an argument.
I mean, I think they will always argue whether it's a, like, logical argument. Probably not. But, I mean, you're going to always have that 17th team who thinks they should have gone. It's like BYU. Oh, we went so far in the NIT last year. We should have been in March Madness. We'd have been so well.
You would have gotten beat in the first round. Everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, for me, at the very least, you got to have 8 because you have Power 5 conference, like 5 power conferences that are, I'm not sure that all of them really are powerful, per se. I would say that the ACC, with the exception of, like, 1 team a year, is pretty much a joke.
Right.
The Big East.
But they usually do have that anymore, one team.
Yeah, usually the one team is really good, but the rest are pretty much garbage. So, I mean, I don't know that. Let's see. We got Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, SEC, and ACC. Okay. Yeah, ACC is usually pretty terrible with the exception of 1 team.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if they're all Power 5. But as it is, like, at this point, you should have a system where at least the champion of every one of those gets to play for the national championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why have, you know, this, like, conglomerate. If you're not going to have, like, equal things for everybody. So you have, at the very least, an 8-team one. 16 would be better, but at the very least, get 8 and eight have all 5 champions are in, and then 3 at large.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you could even do the highest-ranked group of 5, so long as they are within maybe the top 15 in college football.
I agree with that as well.
Because in that scenario, Boise gets their shot, whether they're undefeated or not, most likely.
Well, I mean, if they're up there. I think they end up 9-3 and are around 20.
So do you have them starting out 1-3 then, losing to Washington State, Oregon State, and Utah State?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's interesting. I don't see them losing to Washington State, at least. Oregon State, it's on the road. I could maybe see that one.
And plus, Gary Anderson knows Boise State.
It's true. Gary Anderson has history against them.
But Washington State, they just pass so well. I think that they get a lead and manage to hold on. That's my thought. I mean, it might not happen. It might be like they go 10-2, but I don't. They're definitely not going undefeated in my mind.
Yeah, I have them going undefeated. I think they do. I think they've got a really strong team. I think they win a strong Mountain West Conference championship game against a strong San Diego State team that does well. And I mean, for Boise to have a strong argument, they'd have to be San Diego State would have to be probably within the top 15 for them to say, well, that's a strong win. But I do. I think Boise wins out. I think they do everything they need to. And I think they should be in the playoff. I think they'll be in a spot where that strong win over San Diego State puts them there. I don't think they have to look perfect the entire season, but I do think they have to look good. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think you've talked me into that one. If they're the only undefeated team and they looked good all season, let's give them a chance in the playoff. They've probably earned it at that point.
So a good night's sleep really had a good effect on you there.
Yep. Good night's sleep. That's all you need. Just if you ever have an argument, sleep on it. Go to bed angry.
And then you'll wake up and realize that I am always right.
But I still don't think they go 13-0. Even if you think that they're this really good team, last year they gave up stupid losses and fumbled multiple times when they should have easily won.
See, and I agree. I think there was a lot of times when Boise shot themselves in the foot last year, but they're returning a lot of the key players. McNichols is amazing. McNichols is a big reason. That's a big reason that Utah State did well against Boise, was because McNichols wasn't there. I think I want to say his last name is Ripken, the quarterback. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a – last year he was a freshman.
I think it was Ripken.
I think last year as a freshman, he was a freshman. He makes a lot of freshman mistakes. It's a new level of football. I think he continues to grow. He does better. I know they've touted him as the new Kellen Moore. And as somebody who owns a Kellen Moore jersey, I think that is a strong statement.
Shame.
Shame. But I think he has a lot of potential there. And I think Boise will do really well this season.
Kellen Moore jersey.
I think they'll be pretty good. I can't see them going undefeated any way I look at this. Maybe they sneak a win against Utah State, but I don't think they sneak a win from Utah State at Oregon State and from Washington State. I think they lose at least one of those games, if not all three of those games.
So. Okay. So that's fair. But you do agree. An undefeated Boise State should be in the college football playoff. Because that's
faults.
What...
Yes.
So you were wrong. I want to hear that really specifically.
I was wrong. If they go 13-0 and are the only undefeated team and they didn't just sneak by in all these games, yes, they probably should be given a chance to go to the playoffs.
Oh, I love you too, Alex.
But I also hate 14 playoffs. So.
Yeah, I agree. 14 playoff is the worst thing. I think a 16 is what we want. I think an 8 is what we'll likely get.
Okay. Well, that's going to be it for us. Make sure to follow us at CompetitiveUSU and catch us next week. Tuesday at 5. Anything else you two need to add?
No, that's it.
Go Aggies. Right.